Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and today we have a treat for you. Good friend of mine from San Antonio, Texas, Keith Walker, who's with Evidence Ministries, is with me today, and we're just going to talk. Talk about some things that we like to bring up in casual conversation with our LDS acquaintances and such. But first of all, Keith, since it's been a long time since you've been on the show, we have a lot of listeners that have come on since you were here last. So I would like you to just kind of give a little explanation of what you do down in San Antonio. Let's start from the very beginning. What sparked you to get involved in this kind of ministry?
Well, I became a Christian in 1988. I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade, and about 6 weeks after that, I had a couple of Jehovah's Witness ladies come to my door. They challenged me about God's kingdom, and all I knew to do was to quote Matthew 6:33, and which didn't really impress them. They says, "Oh, so you're a Christian and you read the Bible and you don't know anything about God's kingdom."
So Matthew 6:33 for the person who's driving their car and fumbling for their Kindle. Why don't you tell them so they don't get in an accident?
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added
unto you.
So she's confused as to why I can claim to be a Christian and not really know from her perception what the kingdom really was. And I broke down and said, I wasn't rude when I said it, but it was sort of like, look, lady, I've been a Christian 6 weeks. I can't even walk yet, spiritually speaking. You can't expect me to know everything there is to know about the Bible. But I made a deal with her. I said,
that's a good attitude to have after 60 years.
Exactly, exactly. So I said, well, I tell you what, you come back next week and I'll have an answer for you. So I went to the church that I was going to after I had gotten saved, and there was only two things they could tell me about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Number one, they're wrong, and two, stay away from them. And I thought, what kind of an answer is that? Here these people are coming to my door with Bibles in their hands, going to a place they don't believe in, and I'm not going to say anything to these people? So I really started looking into what it was the Jehovah's Witnesses had to say. No matter where I went or what I was doing, I was constantly running into the Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, I went to Bible college, went there for 3 years. When my wife and I married, she grew up in Hawaii. So, as you know, there's extension of BYU out there. There's lots of Mormons there. She knew a lot of Mormons. In fact, after she had become a Christian, she looked into Mormonism to see whether or not that was a church that she should join. And interestingly enough, the church that she was going to at the time started a Bible study on Mormonism. And that is where she realized that there are vast differences between Mormonism and Christianity. Well, you were also at Calvary Chapel Honolulu that same period of time. So Becky actually went and
I remember
heard
that.
You. Yeah. Becky was in Hawaii, heard you speak, and she got on your newsletter list. Uh-huh. So when we got married, we cross-trained. I taught her about the JWs, and she taught me about the Mormons. And since we got your newsletter, we started really looking into it, and it became abundantly clear to us that God was moving us in the direction of having a ministry becoming missionaries to both the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. So we actually called you, and we called David Reed and Randy Waters and a bunch of other people, both experts on Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, and we asked, what would you do if you were to start your ministry now? What would you do differently? How would you do this? And so we founded our ministry in 1995. I've been full-time in it since 1999. Early in our ministry, we were more focused on the Jehovah's Witnesses. But since we started coming to Manti in the year 2000, we've probably been, I want to say, 80% Mormonism, 20% Jehovah's Witnesses, but we still focus on both groups, and it's good to be able to do that, because when I'm talking to a Mormon on the street and they can say, why are you picking on us? We must be the true church. I say, you know, that's exactly what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. Why are you picking on us? We must be God's one true organization. So it's good to be able to...
We hear that a lot. Mormons often use that as an argument. We're the only ones that you people seem to go after. Oh, no.
Right.
We're equal opportunity offenders. We go after a lot of people.
Well, my wife gets the newsletter from Voice of the Martyrs. And she's reading, and she reads these devotionals to our children, actually, and they see the persecution that Christians are facing worldwide. So when Mormons talking about persecution or JWs talk about persecution, they really don't know what they're talking
That's
about.
That's an excellent point. I have actually chided Mormons who try to make it sound like what you and what I do and what others do in trying to reach the Latter-day Saint with the gospel of grace, when they are trying to imply that we are somehow persecuting them, they actually, I think, do a very huge disservice to the Mormons that preceded them.
Right.
The especially during the persecution periods in Missouri and even Illinois and what a lot of them faced during that time period. That was real persecution. And as we've said many times, that was wrong. Mm-hmm. It was wrong. It's wrong to treat people badly simply because we don't share the same theology. But to assume that just because we are challenging somebody in what they believe, it does not necessarily equate that we hate them or we're bigoted towards them. We have a genuine concern for them. And this might surprise some of you Latter-day Saints that are listening, but we are actually willing to risk a possible friendship to tell you something that will hopefully, if you embrace it, will have some eternal gain for you.
Absolutely.
That's why we do this. Now, there's some Mormons out there, and you've probably met them, Keith, that just have to feel like they're being persecuted.
I mean,
it kind of drives them. I don't know what to tell people like that other than to insist that certainly is not our motivation. So I just thought I'd throw that in as a little caveat, but go ahead. Continue. Tell us about this.
We jumped on the internet once the internet started getting big and started our website. We've got a blog now. We've got a YouTube channel. So I jokingly tell people I'm a cyber missionary because most of my work is done online, although we do temple openings, always Manti. Manti is our favorite 2 years, or 2 weeks out of the year. And it's awesome because we're able to meet Latter-day Saints right there in the street in front of the temple and have good conversations with them. And we get to the heart of the issue. We like to talk about the gospel. And the approach that we use I learned it basically from you and Timothy Oliver and Tim Martin and some unknown dude in the Manti City Park. He only came 1 year and he opened our eyes to the miracle of forgiveness. Remember, this is back in our time when I was mostly focused on JW. So although I knew the basics about Mormonism, I didn't know the nuances of their gospel anywhere nearly as well as I do now. So when I started seeing these quotes by Spencer W. Kimball and the verses that we use out of the standard works, it just all came together for me in a very logical way. So I took your approach. You call it the celestial law. Timothy Martin and Tim Oliver, they call it the hungering and thirsting method. Well, I just kind of put my own little spin on it. We call it the impossible gospel of Mormonism.
And that title has kind of caught on everywhere.
Well, and everybody calls it that. And if they don't know the history of it, they assume that I came up with it. And I didn't. I just took different ideas from different people. It put my own little personal spin on it, and it just kind of caught that the title is catchy. So that's what people tend to call it. But basically what we do, and this is a very important point for Mormons to understand. When we go through this method with them, we're not telling them they're wrong.
Exactly. That's you're absolutely correct, and I've used that phrase many times. One of the things that turns off just about anybody when you're having a conversation is if you're constantly telling them they're wrong.
Right.
They may be, but to keep harping on that is not going to lend to a very long dialogue.
Right.
What you're doing, what I do, what many of us do, is we allow the Mormon to tell us what they think is required of them in order to get the best their religion has for them. And we just kind of let them explain it. And then merely find out by asking certain questions whether or not they're actually doing what they say they're supposed to be doing.
Basically, what we're doing is a reductio ad absurdum, which you start at one point You start at an idea, and if this idea takes you in a bad direction, if you end up in a bad place, then it's got to be a bad idea to begin with. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is we go through their scriptures, we show them what it is that Mormonism actually requires of them before they can obtain forgiveness of sin, and it becomes painfully obvious to them that they are not measuring up to what it is the Mormon Church requires of them, especially in regards to repentance. The way they define repentance is the forsaking, the forever forsaking of all sin. You can't obtain forgiveness before you reach that point.
And we probably should explain to those of our listeners who have not had Latin in school that the reductio, it's actually reducing to the absurd.
Reducing to absurdity, right.
Showing them that if this is the position you want to hold, it's basically absurdity.
Right.
It's not going to work. But you're right. And I think it's important for us when we are talking with our Mormon friends to allow them to tell us their side of the story. I remember not too terribly long ago, but we hear occasionally from people, certain people, that a lot of Christians don't, they have a tendency to tell Mormons what they believe.
Right.
We've heard this phrase, and it seems to have caught on even among Mormons. They'll say, don't tell me what I believe. That's why it's important, Christian. Let them do the talking. Let them explain themselves. Now, if they say something that might sound very similar to what you believe, there's probably a good chance they are using the same words. They are defining the words quite differently.
Right.
There is nothing wrong with politely interrupting just for clarification and say, excuse me, when you use the phrase, for instance, salvation by grace, what do you mean when you say that? When you talk about Jesus, explain to me who this Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about him from your perspective. Let them do the explaining. But we have found many times, as you have too, that when Mormons use the same words that we use, there's a good chance they're defining them differently.
Right. Somebody hasn't taken the time to define their terms. If you think Sandra Tanner actually said this recently, if you find yourself agreeing with a Mormon on any point, the chances are somebody hasn't defined their terms correctly.
Oh, and I think she's absolutely correct in that, because
right.
We find that many times. And how many times have I received emails from well-meaning Christians who will say, you guys at MRM, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I talk to a Mormon and they agree with everything that I believe. So I'll ask them very politely, well, did you have them define their terms? And they'll say, oh no, why should I do that? Well, it's because you've been using the same words, but you've been talking two different languages here. And that's absolutely essential if you're going to make your point with the Latter-day Saint. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow. And we'll be having Keith back with us, so you want to make sure that you tune in.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. On Saturday, November 16th, Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be signing their book at the Lifeway Christian Store in Murray from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Published by Kriegel Publishers, Answering Mormons' Questions tackles 36 of the most common questions asked by Latter-day Saints. Each chapter in the book provides practical explanations about how you can respond to your Mormon friend with gentleness and respect. In addition, a number of useful tools are included, such as a glossary of dozens of LDS terms and their Mormon definitions, as well as evangelism tips at the end of each of the chapters. Answering Mormons' Questions will surely help you in your tactics in sharing your Christian faith. And their book, Mormonism 101, will also be available. Lifeway Christian Store is located at 6336 South State Street in Murray. Easy to get to, easy to find. And again, that's happening on Saturday, November 16th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Lifeway Christian Store in Murray. As always, Bill and Eric look forward to meeting you. We'll be right back.